Remember the name Naftali Bennett. He will be the new prime minister of Israel. So Israel has a new prime minister. Also remember Yair Lapid, who might be the second new prime minister if this arrangement goes along. Now, they have a very interesting new cabinet, and that teaches us a lot about Israeli politics and what's happening in that very vital region of the world, a very strategically important region, but also a country and region that's very important to us in India. But before I go there, let me get some opinion out of the way. And there is no better way of doing that than to share with you the 50-word editorial that we wrote on this change in Israel today. So please read that on your screens. We believe, however, you might say, what is the 50-word edit? We believe, however, that newspapers, others waste 400 words when they write 400 words to make a point. They are wasting about 350 words, because if an editorial is about opinion, that can be stated in about as much as the maximum length of a tweet. So this is a 50-word edit. Now, this editorial notes that even more than the new government in Israel, the important thing is that Netanyahu is gone. Why is that important? This year, in 2021, Netanyahu becomes the second strongman leader in a democracy to go after Donald Trump. Why do we qualify strongman leader in a democracy? And strongman is not a strong man. A strongman leadership means something else, the other Greek leadership. Because we used to say that if you go around the world clockwise or anti-clockwise, you find that it looks like all of the world is run by alpha males of the ultra-nationalist right. So strongmen of the ultra-nationalist right. Now, we don't worry so much about classical dictatorships like, say, China. China's a dictatorship, North Korea's a dictatorship, you're bound to have a strongman leader there. But then democracies, Russia also we count out, because Russia is a kind of democracy. It's a dictatorship with elections under Putin. So if you look at democracies, then there was a bunch of them, and the most prominent and the most important was Donald Trump. So he lost his election. He left presidency, White House, sort of kicking and screaming. Similarly, now Netanyahu, who had been in power for 12 years, is also left kicking and screaming, saying that this new arrangement, this new coalition is a fraud, it's nonsense, and also promising that he will be back, don't count him out. But he's saying that, and life will be tough for him. Life will be tough for him because he also faces many criminal corruption cases from which he had immunity so far as long as he was a serving prime minister or a serving minister. He no longer has it. And the new government, when I explain the cabinet to you, you will see that how of the two partners who will share prime ministership, there's obviously been a tussle about who wants to keep the justice ministry and the interior ministry. Because one of the implications of that will be the cases against Netanyahu. But the editorial point is, the opinionated point is, that democracies have their aberrations, and these strongman leaders rise in democracies, but democracies are also able to deal with them. It's a cycle, it's a wheel that turns. It never becomes stationary. So Netanyahu, who lasted 12 long years, which is historic for Israel, he is also gone now, and he was the ultimate populist. He in fact used many methods towards his populism, but lately his method has become purely to get the Palestinians out, to rouse Jewish feelings, conservative Jewish feelings particularly, or nationalist Jewish feelings also, against Palestinians, and create a straw man or an enemy and then go after it. So this was a kind of divisive policy, whereas one side was an obvious underdog. And that's why you saw whatever happened in Gaza, whereas all the other people got together to get him out. Now, when I read out the list of some key people in the new cabinet, you might notice that almost all of them, all of the key ones, have worked with Netanyahu. One, in fact, was his chief of staff. The new prime minister, Naftali Bennett, in 2006-08, was his chief of staff, his personal chief of staff, and then had a falling out. So many of these people have worked with him. Many of them are people of the right. In fact, Naftali Bennett himself more to the right of the political spectrum or ideological spectrum than even Netanyahu. They all got together because they wanted him out. And that became the rallying point. And that often happens with populists, because populism is very difficult to fight otherwise. Because how do you find an answer to populism? So the answer is sometimes found in coalitions and numbers. And I'll give you an example of that from India very soon. But when these people got together, it became a bit like, remember I told you an example from India very soon, the 1971 general elections in India, when all the opposition parties got together against Indira Gandhi, including people she had got rid of after splitting the Congress, that is the Congress O, the older Congress people, the organization people, over there stood for organization. What was the slogan? Everybody had got together, sinking their ideological differences to get Indira Gandhi out. And Indira Gandhi had a big populist slogan against them, that was Garibi Hatao. And her counter was, Wo kehte hain Indira Hatao, Indira ji kehte hain Garibi Hatao, aap faisla kare. That they are only together because they want to get rid of me, whereas I am here because I want to get you rid of poverty, so you choose. That was a strong populist proposition, and we know history. She won a very famous victory and decimated her opposition. In this case now, Netanyahu's proposition was basically drive out the Palestinians. Drive out the Palestinians. All these other guys are saying drive out Netanyahu. Now, why did it not work? One, because Israeli politics has changed. So from a time when Israeli politics had a clear left, the Labour Party, which was much more accommodative of the Palestinians, that time is now over. Over time, and I'm sharing with you this article, very nice article from Noah Landau of Haaretz, on how she explains the new left elements now in this cabinet, the current cabinet, the cabinet that got sworn in now, will have problems because they have made big compromises with the right, just to get Netanyahu out. So what happened is, he's actually been beaten by people who are even more of the right than him. So Naftali Bennett, for example, does not accept a two-front solution. He says there's no two-front solution is no better than a slogan, forget it. It's never going to happen. In fact, he goes a step ahead of Netanyahu. He wants to grab, he wants to annex 60% of the West Bank area, make it part of Israel, and give the Palestinians the area that is left out beyond that. So it became difficult for Netanyahu to sell the same idea, because many people are opposed to him were also Jewish conservatives, many of whom had worked with him and had now positioned themselves to the right of him. So that got taken care of there. Why are we then saying it's a change? Why are we saying his kind of populism is now not going to work? Because the same forces now have to share power, one, with very strong forces of the center. I would not say center left, although some commentators like to call Yair Lapid and his party as center left, but I will not call them center left. I will call them center. But say, in the Israeli context today, you can even call them center-left, because right has gone so far to the right, has become religiously conservative in Israel. So look at these people, look at the cast of characters. And while I speak with you, I have my notes, but the reason I have this iPad with me is that I also have a tweet from Noah Landau, which gives me pictures and names and party affiliations of the new ministers in this cabinet. And I'm not talking about all of them. Only the key ones and their parties, because this cabinet seems to have as many parties as they have ministers, because Israel, as we keep explaining to you, has the most complex electoral system in the world. That is, you don't vote for a candidate, you vote for a party. The party then gets its votes and accordingly allocates seats to people, to MPs or members, Knesset, MKs, as it wants to. In fact, parties can pool in before elections to say that as we get our votes, we'll pool them in. So what is left, Faltu, we'll get it together and get maybe one extra seat. Now, one extra seat in Israel matters a lot, because this new government has come into power because they have 60 seats. The other side has 59 seats. It's as razor thin as much of a photo finish as that. So sometimes you get confused, this is this guy's party, but why is he also affiliated to something else? Because his party then may be part of a larger coalition, and I will explain some of that to you. So Bennett, Naftali Bennett, he's from Yamina party. Yamina literally means translated to the right, that is swerve to the right, turn to the right. So no pretenses there. Netanyahu has been defeated, among others, by people to the right of him. He's a former soldier. Frankly, everybody in Israel is a former soldier because it's compulsory military service. But he's a former commando in the Maglan unit of Israeli commandos, which is quite a well-known unit. He's also incredibly wealthy. He's a tech entrepreneur after leaving the army, and after, although he served as chief of staff under Netanyahu, maybe that didn't hurt, he built his brilliant tech companies and sold them, each one for about $100-$150 million. So he's very wealthy, and his wealth actually has been talked about quite a bit, and I have a quote from him from Israeli press on his wealth, where he said, what do I do with my wealth? He says, I don't eat 17 steaks a day. I don't have a private plane or yacht. The wealth simply brought me freedom to do what I want. So he's an unapologetically rich guy who's got elected. His seats are actually fewer than the other guy, the center-right guy. But he had the leverage that unless he came on board, there would be no government. So that's how he got into this partnership or sharing of prime ministership. He becomes prime minister now. And then Yair Lapid, whose numbers are larger and who comes from the centrist party, he will become prime minister. And then you see how interesting it is in terms of how they divide portfolios or how they shift portfolios. So what happens when Bennett is prime minister? What portfolio does Lapid have? And what happens when Lapid becomes prime minister 2 years from now, 2.5 years from now, what portfolio does Bennett have? And similarly, portfolios amongst their loyalists and their party people also shift. That is, it's very fascinating, but it's also truly cluttered. So bear with me. Now, Bennett, he's been attacking Netanyahu effectively for not being right enough all this while. He has served as a minister in every coalition until 2019, after ceasing to be chief of staff with Netanyahu. Every cabinet, 2019, he fell out of the power structure because his party won no seats. Once again, it got a bunch of votes, but not enough votes to get itself a seat. So he fell out. So the first time in 2019, Mr. Bennett was not a minister in a coalition cabinet. But within just over a year, he's now the prime minister. That is how Israeli politics works. He's also been indicted for fraud, breach of trust, bribes, etc. In fact, if you look at Israeli politics, almost everyone has had something happen to him or her. It's a very contentious politics in Israel. It's also a very tough media in Israel. Let's give them the credit. And he has hurt Netanyahu by breaking away from him and reminding him constantly that you are not pure enough. In a way, he didn't use those lines. He, for example, said that what is Netanyahu doing? Netanyahu's commitment to the Jewish cause is basically for his own benefit. And he says that all that Netanyahu is doing is dragging to Jews to his own Masada. Now, if you know a little bit of Jewish history or if you've been to Israel, now Masada is this hillock. This is flat tabletop kind of hillock. You drive along it. There is the Dead Sea on one side, Masada to the right as you're going towards Eilat in Israel. It's also one of the most visited tourist spots. And this is the place where apparently a group of Jews had made their last stand when they were attacked, when they were under siege. And finally, when they could not fight any longer, they took recourse to mass suicide. So that is the concept of Masada. In fact, very often when I used to travel in Israel, people say, oh, and these were people on the left in Israel who would say, oh, Israelis have a Masada mindset, which means they'll keep fighting to their deaths. So see the imagery he's using. He's saying Netanyahu is dragging all the Jews to his own Masada, which means he's dragging all the Jews to suicide just to fulfill his personal ends. It looks like enough voters have bought into this. So he comes in, and I told you his party is Yamina. Yamina means to the right, turn to the right, swerve to the right, whatever. So what happens when he ceases to be prime minister? When he ceases to be prime minister as part of this half and half arrangement, then he will become interior minister. I told you interior and justice are two key ministries. Besides, of course, what we call as CCS ministries, as the home, defense, finance, external affairs. But interior and justice, very important right now. One, because of Netanyahu's cases. Second, I presume because of everybody's cases. So he will then become interior minister. His alternate now, Yair Lapid, who is a former TV anchor, who in spite of having larger numbers, at first conceded the first round in prime ministership to Naftali Bennett, knowing fully well that this arrangement may not last long enough for him to become prime minister. But the urge to get Netanyahu was so strong. Now, his party is simply called Yesh Atid. And I said simply because its translation is very, very interesting and very important. His translation is, there is a future. In fact, that's the interesting thing in Israel. A lot of the parties, new hope, there is a future, a new way. So a lot of the parties are looking ahead, or at least promising to look ahead instead of looking behind. Now, his party has been called center-left. In fact, Netanyahu in his campaign said that his 5 days of fighting with Gaza has told us that we cannot fight Gazans or Hamas under a leftist government. So the attack was on him. So he's not that left, a bit center-left, but quite centrist. Centrist, Zionist, but centrist, secular middle class. So he represents the secular middle class. He's not an orthodox Jewish party, nor is his politics like that. And so his party is called Yesh Atid. There is a future. He will become prime minister in 2013. Until then, he is foreign minister. And what happens when he becomes prime minister? When he becomes prime minister, Naftali Bennett, we told you, will become interior minister and remain, each one will remain alternate prime minister, which is, God forbid, something happens to one, the other one will automatically take over. For now, Yair Lapid will remain foreign minister. So he is very often the person who will go and meet Blinken, because we know that Biden and his lot may be a little bit wary of dealing with Naftali Bennett too much. Although, mind you, as soon as Naftali Bennett got sworn in, Netanyahu called him to congratulate him. He had made Netanyahu wait 3 weeks after his own swearing in, after Biden's swearing in, before Biden called him. And that was a message. So this also, immediate call to Bennett is a message. That means it's as if Biden also is acknowledging the fact or endorsing the fact that he likes this change in Israel. Now, Yair Lapid will now be foreign minister. And once becomes prime minister and Bennett becomes interior minister, who will Bennett take it from? Bennett will take it from his own party colleague. And his own party colleague is Ayelet Shaked, a young woman. Watch her Instagram page, 45, very active in social media. She is right now interior minister. So that means this party, Yamina, will keep interior ministry one way or the other. Right now, this is Ayelet Shaked who's holding it. But once Bennett ceases to be prime minister, he will hold it. So that is an important thing to note. On the other hand, Yair Lapid, who is now foreign minister, once he becomes prime minister, foreign ministry will go to Gideon Saar. Gideon Saar is not from his party, but from a party which is a bit closer to his party. That's also a Zionist party, not a two-state party, but closer to him, not that much of the right as, say, Naftali Bennett. So when Lapid is prime minister, Gideon Saar is foreign minister. Right now, in Bennett's term, he's justice minister. So justice is with one side, interior is with the other. That is a very careful balancing And the important difference here from Indian kind of coalitions is that all portfolios for today and after the transition have been announced now. Now, I'm not saying things will not go wrong. I'm not even saying how long this will last, but I'm saying that this is a very unique way of structuring a cabinet. Then number three, generally in the order of precedence, we have another very important person, the oldest man in the cabinet. He's Avigdor Lieberman. Now, Lieberman comes from a party called Yisrael Bitenau. You will see the spelling, correct spelling on the screen, because I may or may not be able to pronounce it right. He is 62. He will now have finance. In the past, however, he has held every ministry that matters in Israel, including deputy prime minister. So he's been home, defense, interior, defense, finance, etc. It looks like the man at the age of 68, the oldest member in this cabinet, is a walkie-talkie cabinet committee on security. Right now he gets finance. His party, Yisrael Bitenau, is more a party which gets its votes from the Russian origin or Soviet origin Jews. His party is also more on the right, but I would say a little bit between the right and the center, because there is also a bit of the old Russian Soviet influence. So all that also comes into play, I suspect. I don't know that for sure. Maybe I'm just making a leap of faith, but possibly. Then a very interesting character, Benny Gantz. Benny Gantz is 62. He now becomes defense minister. Benny Gantz was a decorated, much rated chief of defense staff in Israel, the boss of all the defense forces. He retired in 2015, and unlike in India, Israel has a 3-year cooling period for a retiring soldier to contest elections or join politics. So he spent his 3 years of cooling period, and then 2018 joined politics. As he joined politics, he launched his own party, the Israel Resilience Party. It did all right for some time. He was a respected man. He also joined hands with the pre-election coalition. We told you they make these coalitions to combine their votes, and that coalition was called Blue and White. Blue and White, why? Because those are the colors on Israel's flag. So he joined the Blue and White coalition and then had a checkered run, because 2019 elections, 2020 elections, his party got a bunch of seats. He and Netanyahu arrived at a decision to share power, as it's happened right now. And then Netanyahu said, I'll have it first, you have it later. I think that's a mistake that General Benny Gantz made. He may be great at military tactics and strategy, but not politics. He was learning. So as soon as Netanyahu got it, he completely sidelined him, although he had key cabinet positions, but completely sidelined him, did not even pass a budget that he wanted. In fact, Israel hasn't passed a budget for 2.5 years because it hasn't had a proper cabinet and proper government system. It's as if the whole country is running on a caretaker basis. So Benny Gantz then obviously left. That arrangement fell. Israel had 2 more elections after that. And now Benny Gantz is in a situation where his party got wiped out in this election, because his voters said, "Arre, we voted for you to get Netanyahu out, and you go join hands with him just because you want power. Huh? So who takes you seriously?" So unlike in India, in Israel, they also punish defectors or punish people who completely go away from their promise. So anyway, but now, because everybody had to be brought under the tent, he's come in now as defense minister. So Benny Gantz, at one point, because he figured that he had lost out, he merged his party with Yesh Atid, which is Yair Lapid's party. So in Israel, this happens all the time. And then everything has a Hebrew name and an English translation or an English name. So it's not easy. But he is now there as defense minister. Again, this government then projects the fact that they have a former chief of defense staff, a very respected soldier, as their defense minister, who has served his 3-year cooling off period also. Important. Then we come to Ayelet Shaked, the interior minister. Obviously, a very trusted young leader in Yamina party, Naftali Bennett's party, who will become justice minister once Bennett becomes interior minister. So she'll swap places with her party's own leader. Then again, you have some interesting names. You have Elazar Stern, who's intelligence minister. Elazar Stern is also a former major general, although not from intelligence, a major general. So look at this. Israel in some ways is a national security state while being a very robust democracy, because the element of national security has been internalized by everybody. So he comes from a military background, and this government has a defense minister, an interior minister, an intelligence minister. So you can see that all the bases are covered. Although this cabinet has made some changes, it has dropped, for example, the Ministry of the Portfolio of Strategic Affairs. But I suppose once you have defense, interior affairs, and intelligence affairs, then all the bases are covered there. He comes from Yesh Atid, which is the alternate prime minister's party. Now, there are two more interesting names that I should mention to you. These are the two Arab Muslim ministers in this cabinet. Now, we know that this coalition has come into being with the support of many Arab MPs, MKs, particularly of Ram Party, R-A-apostrophe-A-M, not Ram as we spell it, R-A-M, R-A-apostrophe-A-M. Now, Israel, 21 to 22% of Israel's population is Arab. This is something that people don't necessarily realize. In fact, I would go to the extent of saying that these are perhaps the only Arabs in the entire Arab world who have right to free vote. They may not have the same position in the power structure after voting, but they have a right to free vote. But this time they've got leverage, because without them, this coalition would not have come in. Without them, this motley bunch of right-wingers, centrists, etc., 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 kahin ki eat, kahin ka roda, they would not have been able to get Netanyahu out. So they have leverage. Now, two Arab ministers are Hamad Amar, who is like Minister of State in Finance. So he'll work under Lieberman. And then Isawi Frej, who interestingly is a Minister for Regional Cooperation. Regional cooperation then means working with Jordan, working with Lebanon, Syria, and beyond that with the Arab world, because Israel's relationship with the Arab world is warming up with Saudi Arabia, with UAE, now increasingly Bahrain, maybe Qatar, Kuwait, going on like that, because Iran is now seen as a common adversary. So that's a big change. Now, I told you also that I will give you some examples from Indian politics. Now, nothing fits like a shoe, right? But there are broad parallels. Remember VP Singh's cabinet in 1989-1990, short-lived cabinet, daily wage cabinet. How did it come into being? VP Singh and the party to which he belonged, which he did not control, that party itself was a mob. In that party, I think that party got about 160 seats. He was kept in power with support from BJP from the outside and the left from the outside. What was the common intent? Common intent was to keep Rajiv Gandhi out of power. So in Indian politics, at that point, the BJP was as extreme right as could be, and CPM, CPI, the left front, could be as extreme as left, as extreme left as it could be. In fact, if I may bring it back to you, that government had Mufti Muhammad Saeed as its home minister and then ran into a lot of trouble. And that is the government in which BJP was a partner, not in the cabinet, but supporting it from outside. A lot that happened in Kashmir at that point, BJP now does not want to be reminded that it happened when the BJP was a partner, because the exodus of the pandits, the atrocities of the pandits started in that time. But BJP does not like to remember that. They would somehow put that onus on the Congress party and the rest. But the BJP was there as the left was there, and the idea then was to keep Rajiv Gandhi out of power. Something similar has now happened in Israel. Whether this will have a better fate or whether this will be more durable than VP Singh's, we'll figure out as time passes.